Season 2, episode 24 of this podcast, and this time we'll be discussing an interesting topic about democratization of artificial intelligence. For today's podcast episode, we have invited Mr. Haryam Tatsat, a senior executive in the quantitative analytics division of an investment financial institution in New York. He also has an extensive experience as a quant in the areas of predictive modeling, financial instrument pricing, and risk management several global investment banks and financial organizations. He will share with us his remarkable insights on AI and its significant relevance to finance and our present digital economy. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to FinCircle and welcome to our podcast. When company leaders talk about democratizing artificial intelligence, it's not difficult to imagine what they have in mind. The more people with access to the raw materials of knowledge, tools, and data required to build an AI system, the more innovations that are bound to emerge. Efficiency improves and engagement increases. Faced with a shortage of technical talent, Microsoft, Amazon, and Google have all released pre-made, drag-and-drop, or no-code AI tools that allow people to integrate AI into applications without needing to know how to build machine learning models. But as companies move towards democratization, a cautionary tale is emerging. Even the most sophisticated AI systems designed by highly qualified engineers can fall victim to biases, explainability issues, and other flaws. An AI system built by someone without proper training or operating without appropriate controls could create something outright dangerous, introducing discrimination or serious errors. Worse, the problems may not become evident until after a system has been implemented. leaving companies scrambling to reassure stakeholders, undo the damage, and fix the technology part of it. This is not to say that democratization of AI is not without value. Making these new technologies more accessible and affordable expands the possibilities of what businesses and governments can accomplish and fuels competition. For example, datasets, models, papers, and research related to the fight against COVID-19 have been open source, enabling a large global community to collaborate. The key for company leaders is to avoid getting carried away by the hype and instead focus on identifying what exactly they are going to democratize. Will it be something simple, such as data visualization, or something complex, like model development? Who will be the users? Will it be novices or experts? And how the organization can maximize the benefit while managing or mitigating the risk with proper training and governance. Democratization of AI offers three main benefits. First and foremost, it reduces entry barriers for individuals as well as organizations to start experimenting with AI. They can leverage publicly available data as well as algorithms to start experimenting building AI models on cloud infrastructure. Individuals anywhere in the world with little or no financial investment, or maybe just an access to the internet, can enter the exciting world of AI. Not only can they learn about AI, but can also solve important problems in marketplaces, such as Kaggle, to obtain significant rewards. Second, the democratization reduces the overall cost of building AI solutions as communities of programmers and users start using and extending the data, algorithms, and tools to build more powerful solutions. The openness of democratization, where data or algorithms are made freely available to others, also helps in building the necessary talents. And the curation of ImageNet, for instance, and making it publicly available with defined metrics on performance, help a number of researchers to build faster and more accurate models. The availability of open source deep learning frameworks like Caffe, TensorFlow, PyTorch, among others, has significantly contributed to a growing number of talented deep learning experts. Hence, reduce the time to talent development is also a significant benefit of democratization. All of these aspects are increasing the speed of adoption of AI in the academic and business world. Aspects of natural language processing, for instance, like analyzing and extracting structured information from text documents, analyzing customer sentiments from social media or call centers, the use of conversational interfaces or chatbots are becoming common business applications. Similarly, use of machine learning and deep learning to draw insights, identify or classify data, automate tasks, or augment human decision-making are becoming commonplace. The idea of democratizing AI seems like a good idea in a world where open sourcing is increasingly common and technologists and early adopters alike are eager to lower the barriers to entry in pursuit of progress. Indeed, if we can't learn from one another's AI projects, then we risk creating a one-way flow in which some players, typically larger companies or governments with ample funding, benefit, while those with fewer resources get left behind. As the World Economic Forum's head of AI and machine learning, Kay-Furth Butterfield, recently wrote, AI's long-term success depends on the agility of the collaboration, the diversity and integrity of the data, and the accuracy of the risk assessments. By acknowledging the possible downsides of the democratization of AI, industry can explore the standards and guidelines needed to ensure that innovation goes hand in hand with safe implementation. And therefore, by making AI or artificial intelligence transparent and establishing governance, it can be removed from its black box and can engender trust. One of the things is, if people don't trust AI or artificial intelligence, then it can't truly progress. In today's podcast episode, we'll be talking to Mr. Haryam Tatsat, presently the Vice President in the Quantitative Analytics Division of an investment bank in New York and a UC Berkeley alumnus. He will share with us his valuable insights on democratizing AI and its significant relevance to our current digital economy, as well as an introduction to his exceptional book entitled Machine Learning and Data Science Blueprints for Finance. It's great to have you, Haryam, and welcome to FinCircle.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for the kind introduction and thanks for having me. I think I've heard a couple of your podcasts and they were really good and illuminating discussions I heard. So thanks for bringing it out in the world.
Let's probably start by laying out the value proposition of democratizing AI and why does it matter?
Let's talk about why is AI important. And there are a couple of things which are obvious and there are some things which we have already seen. So AI leads to automation of things, reduction in cost, more repetitive tasks can be done by machines and algorithms. And there is time for more innovation and creativity. So overall life would be better. So and what exactly happens by the democratization? It reduces the entry barrier. So what people do? So people come up with efficient and cost-effective solutions, infrastructures and tools. And in that sense, AI overall and the democratization of AI might have a similar kind of impact as industrial revolution, agricultural revolution, or even internet, where we saw a lot of new innovations coming and life becoming easier. And that's like, that is what I call as the broad or high level value proposition of democratization of AI. Now, let's narrow the scenario of AI to the last like 10 years. And the last 10 years, we have seen a regime shift, and not just in finance, in almost all the sectors. And there is a huge demand of people who are trained in AI, and the demand might be in millions at this point of time. And what we have seen is, and there are not many people to meet the demand of the AI infrastructure. So what can democratization do? Democratization can help in matching the supply with demand. So more people trained in the AI, more the gap between the demand and supply will be reduced in future. And now, not to forget the job market. So there is this fear in people's mind that, yeah, jobs will go to automation. That those kind of days are coming when automation will take away the jobs. But what is automation? So automation is pretty much like AI. And with democratization, what will happen is more and more people will reinvent themselves and prepare themselves for the future jobs. And the fear that people have in the market and in the mind that might go away when you go about like democratization of AI as such, not just in finance, in all the sectors. So that is where I see quite a lot of value proposition of democratization of AI, especially in the coming days. Yep.
What are the challenges and opportunities on AI and finance that we are facing today?
An interesting question, and that's been kind of a thought-provoking for quite a lot of people. So when you talk about opportunities, there are a lot of opportunities, as I mentioned in the answer to the previous questions. There are a lot of areas of adoption in finance. There are many, many use cases. You can think of like a lot of areas, fraud detection to algorithmic trading, portfolio management and whatnot. And there'll be a lot of innovation coming up, and all these innovation will lead to like automation and low cost, what happened by the Industrial Revolution and the internet in the past. So yes, there are quite a lot of opportunities, and I am a technical guy, so I also look at the modeling point of view. So when you make models based on AI, the AI deals pretty well with unstructured data, and especially a lot of data. And the models with AI are sort of better, and what it does, it manages and handles complex relationship, which is the usual case in finance, pretty well. So that's the advantage or opportunity we can say from by using AI in finance. Now, when it comes to challenges, again, there are a couple of challenges that we see. The bigger picture is that adoption is still slow. Why? Because we see that there is a lot of inertia, especially in the banks, which is a lot of legacy system. There is the pushback by management. And there's also some kind of denial or misconception. The denial in the sense that people think that not many things will change, but things are changing. So it's the right time to adopt machine learning in finance. And that's one of the challenges, because the adoption is slow. And again, coming to the modeling point of view, when you're making models based on AI, the AI-based model or machine learning models, generally, they require quite a lot of data and computing powers. The data that we see in finance, I'm talking specifically to finance, has quite a lot of noise. The noise to signal ratio is pretty high. And at times, what might happen is that even AI-based models might not be able to like separate the noise from the signal. And this is specific to the trading strategy, because people generally focus on their trading strategies generally when they use machine learning in finance. And the next thing, which is one of the major or key challenges, especially in finance, is interpretability and explainability. And this is, again, something which is talked about quite a lot. And why finance is slightly different, because there's money at stake. There's a lot of money and there's a lot of reputation at stake, where it is slightly different from other sectors. And what we have seen in the past, that small issue in the models have caused a flash crash and subprime crisis. And we need to be very, very careful here when we are using AI-based models or machine learning-based models. And that is one of the challenges. Again, I mean, there are a lot of work going on in terms of interpretability and explainability and explain the AI-based model well, but we are not yet there, and it might be one of the challenges of using AI in finance.
What are the key differences between AI, machine learning, deep learning in the context of finance applicability?
Yeah, again, good question. Yeah, these are all these all the buzzwords which are thrown at us: AI, machine learning, deep learning, and what my take would be that it's fine to use these words interchangeably in the context of finance, and not just in the context of finance, but in other fields as well. So let me define it slightly more closely. So what is AI? What is machine learning? What is deep learning? So AI is a superset, and machine learning is a subset of AI, and the deep learning is a subset of machine learning, right? So in general, AI is a set of algorithms which replicates things that we human do. So what we do, like, we can see, that is replicated by computer vision. We can speak, that is replicated by all these voice-enabled machine learning algorithms and things like that. So AI is kind of superset. So the global thing, a bigger thing, that is a set of all the algorithms which can replicate humans, that is what we call AI. And machine learning is, as I mentioned, is a subset of AI. It's more about a set of methodology which can replicate or figure out complex patterns in high-dimensional data without being asked what to do. So that is how we define machine learning. And then deep learning is something where we use artificial neural networks. So deep learning are the set of models. The rule of thumb is that artificial neural networks, which are complicated, where we use more than three layers, those kind of algorithms fall under deep learning. And those set of algorithms are what we call, define as deep learning. Now coming to the financial context, or the context of finance, I mean, this definition holds for all the sectors. Now, special use cases in finance is like, where we have things like chatbot, sentiment analysis, where generally use like natural language processing. Again, natural language processing comes slightly more under AI as compared to machine learning. So it's nothing but understanding of language by machine. That is what I meant by natural language processing. And very vaguely, when you use natural language processing, that is what, those are the use cases where you say that, okay, AI being used. And talking about machine learning, we have predictive analysis. That is one of the most used thing in finance, where you say that, okay, whether price will go up or down, that is used in a trading strategy. Whether a transaction will be fraud or not, that's used in the fraud detection. Or let's say what would be the, or whether a person will default on a credit or on a loan or not, that is again predictive analysis. So all these kind of cases generally, vaguely again, are categorized as machine learning. And as I mentioned, all the problem statement of all the use cases where you use neural network, complex neural network. For example, there's a branch of machine learning called reinforcement learning. There we use like artificial neural network with a lot of layers, and that those kind of cases are generally use cases of deep learning. So I read a funny quote sometime back that if it is written in Python, it's machine learning, and if it is written in PowerPoint, it's AI. So yeah, I mean, as I was saying, all these are buzzwords. It's fine to use it interchangeably as such, but yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, there are different use cases of all these in finance.
Predictive analysis, as you've mentioned, is a statistics-based method that data analysts use to make assumptions and test records in order to predict the likelihood of a given future outcome. What is the adaptability ratio that you have observed in the financial industry that utilizes this particular approach and methodology?
Right. So talking about predictive analysis, yeah, it's been there since always. And as I mentioned, financial industry has been using predictive analysis. A lot of use cases I mentioned in the reply to the previous question for predicting the price, whether the price will go up or down, or what will be the consumer demand, whether the loan will be defaulted or not, whether there'll be fraud or not. And generally in the past, for all these kind of predictive analysis, we have seen statistical models being used. And now with all these, there's a lot of data and computing power, there's more and more use cases and more adoption of AI and machine learning in predictive analysis. That is what we are seeing. So talking about like machine learning, I gave example in the previous reply that, yeah, I mean, we have seen adoption in fraud detection. We have seen adoption in algorithmic trading, credit scoring. All these are kind of predictive analysis where we are predicting either continuous thing, meaning what would be the price of Apple tomorrow, or a discrete kind of a thing, whether it will go up or down, kind of zero or one, right? So the advantage of using machine learning and why the adoptability is increasing, on top of the reason that I mentioned about a lot of data and computing power, is that AI or machine learning models make, or when you're using AI machine learning models, the relationship, understanding the complex relationship between different variables is slightly easier. So you can look at, like, there are a lot of cases where there are non-linear relationship or hierarchical relationships. Those things are modeled pretty well by machine learning. And machine learning and AI are also good in understanding the unstructured data, and they adapt very quickly to the changes. For example, let's say there is a new kind of fraud that has come out. The machine learning models might be able to adapt to all the changes or the new fraud that has come up and incorporate in the model and give the warning sign accordingly. So that's the advantage, and that's why the adoption of machine learning is kind of increasing in the predictive modeling. Then specific to finance, there is something called time series data or time series modeling, where we have all the observations linked to the time, or there's some temporal elements to the time. And that, again, traditionally we have been using all these statistical time series models. Again, they had their own limitation. They had a lot of assumptions, and they couldn't look at the nonlinear relationship. And that is where the machine learning models are coming handy. And these days we have quite a lot of even deep learning models. So for example, just to name a few, like RNN, recurrent neural network, or LSTM. So these things, or these models, are some of the deep learning models that can model the temporal relationship or the time series kind of thing pretty well. They can look at the complex relationship. And again, the adoption of these are increasing. And I'm sure in future, the adoption of machine learning and AI and deep learning models will be really, really high in the area of predictive modeling.
Machine learning methods for the solution of a financial instrument pricing equations are fast becoming essential for modern quantitative finance. Based from what you've seen, what model works effectively well on this particular instance?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because the pricing of instrument is something we never thought that machine learning or AI might be used, because there we use traditional models. So traditional models are what we call like numerical methods, is something that we use in the past. And most of the methods or the models that have been used for pricing financial instruments in the past, they had some kind of functional form or equation. And there are a few kinds of financial instruments which are complex, and that may require more complicated numerical methods such as Monte Carlo simulation stuff. Not going into like so much of technicalities. The problem with these traditional numerical methods are that there have been like a lot of assumptions. And in some cases where you have like complex instruments, the time which is taken for the calibration of pricing is higher. Right? But they are traditionally, all these traditional methods are industry standard, and that has been used in all the financial institutions. They are taught in all these masters in financial engineering programs. But again, as I mentioned, there are a couple of assumptions. They have a couple of limitations, as in they have their own set of assumptions. At times, it's slow for them to train. That is where this AI and machine learning might become handy, or that is where the machine learning might be used. Because machine learning models are not based on any assumption. They just take the data. So they're data-driven models. So there are not many assumptions as such. You don't have to stick to some of the artificial assumptions, which might not hold in the actual market, like there's no transaction cost or there's a specific kind of distribution. The stock price follows or the instrument price follows. So these kind of assumptions are not needed. And again, AI-based models might be much faster for complicated instruments as such, right? So it might be useful in, or there might be a lot of adoption in future for the time-sensitive use cases for instrument pricing, especially for the complex instruments. So for example, Let's say there is a trader who wants to give the price to the clients, and the time required for that is pretty less, or that times we need to run overnight batches for pricing instruments, for things like market risk, there are millions of instruments, right? So that is where the AI might be useful. Again, for things like derivative pricing, where the focus is on speed of execution, AI might be useful. And actually, there are a couple of firms which are using, there are a lot of papers which are coming up. There's a thing called reinforcement learning, where there's a lot of adoption. So, but let's talk about the flip side as well. Although AI can have faster training and less number of assumption, but again, one of the drawbacks that I talked about before, about the interpretability, lack of interpretability and the requirement of a lot of data. So this is again with something which might be needed in case we are using AI machine learning for instrument pricing. And people sometimes say that using AI machine learning for instrument pricing is like killing mosquito with a cannon. So definitely I see that there might be some pushback from industry professionals because of these reasons. But who knows? I mean, in future, given the advantage of AI and machine learning for instrument pricing, we might see that traditional models are completely replaced with AI and machine learning based models.
Do you have any case study, Aryam, that you would like to share with regards to quantitative analytics using various algorithms? And what are your relevant takeaways from these experiences?
Yeah, so there were, in my book, going back to my book, there are a couple of case studies, like 20 plus case studies. So I'll talk about some of them. And we talked about instrument pricing in the previous question. Let's talk about that. So in one of the case studies, what we tried to do was we tried to price an instrument, something called call option, simple vanilla instrument using machine learning. So rather than using the traditional financial model, we use machine learning. And we use the same set of inputs that goes to the traditional models, and that is what we fed to the machine learning models as well. What we realized that from the theory, we know that there is a lot of non-linear relationships. So by non-linear relationship, I mean that it's not something which is linearly related, but the price of the instruments is not generally linearly related to all the inputs like volatility and all those things. And what we saw was that all these machine learning models, which are non-linear, so there are a couple of machine learning models like artificial neural network and the forest and all, they work really well. Right? So the idea is, or the point here is that, or the takeaway is that whatever we see in theory, if we understand that pretty well, so for example, in this case, if we understand the intuition behind the relationship of different variables pretty well, it becomes easier for us to model, be it traditional model or machine learning model. So if you're using machine learning modeling or if we are using AI, it's very, very important. And I'm just talking from the modeling point of view. I mean, of course, there can be a lot of case studies because you asked about quantitative analytics. Or quantitative analysis, it becomes pretty important to understand the intuition, think of or understand the theory, understand what's the relationship between different variables before using any models, because half of the work is done if you understand the intuition and the relationship between different variables. Now, there was one more example. There's something I would like to bring, and there is something related to natural language processing. So there's one typical example of natural language processing, sentiment analysis. We look at the news headlines, get a sentiment of on a scale of like 1 to 10, and then use it in the trading strategy. So in one of the use cases, we used or we tried to get the sentiment from the news headlines. And we used two different models. There was one model where there was pre-trained model, which was trained on movie sentiments. And we trained another model that was trained on the financial data. And what we saw was that the model which was trained on movie sentiment didn't catch the right keywords, and it was giving very unintuitive final sentiments. So we switched to the model that we trained using financial data, and that actually worked really well, gave good backtesting results. So again, the takeaway here is that using the right data is really important. You need to make sure that you are using the relevant data before running any model or going back to the previous example, you need to understand the relationship between between different variables before just to plug it in the model. And understanding the intuition, understanding the theory is very important. And that was one of the key takeaways of many case studies that we had in the book.
I understand that you've released a book entitled Machine Learning and Data Science Blueprints for Finance. Can you kindly give us a high-level overview on your exceptional book and what should we expect from it?
Yeah, and that is where I get to do some marketing with my book. So, yeah, I mean, we worked on, I did Masters in Financial Engineering from UC Berkeley and also worked on a lot of things in finance. And while working on machine learning models, what we observed was that there were a couple of gaps in terms of literature or courses. I'm not saying that there were not good books. There were really good books that we have seen. But there were a couple of gaps in the sense that the material was either too theoretical or too high level. And in most of the cases, the focus is on algorithmic trading or trading strategies. And there are a lot of books in machine learning and AI across different sectors, across different domains, but there are not many books which are customized to finance, right? So that is where we tried to, that's a gap we tried to fill, that is the shortcoming we tried to fill. So talking about the book, it's a very practical book, close to 20 plus case studies. Think of any application in finance, we have tried to cover almost all the applications, including fraud, detection, credit scoring, algorithmic trading, portfolio management, sentiment analysis, and also across all the areas of machine learning and AI, be it supervised, unsupervised. I'm just throwing these technical terms, but yeah, supervised, unsupervised reinforcement learning or natural language processing, these are the key things which are used in, these are the key areas of machine learning and AI. And the good thing is that there is a GitHub Python code for each and every case study. If you're working on any case study, you don't have to start anything from scratch. You can leverage this code from the case study. And another thing is that there is a master template for each and every machine learning type. So you can just plug in the data, do the model tuning, run the model and get the result. And another thing is that there is this theory which is highly customized to finance, because machine learning, in case you read the machine learning of use in other things like computer vision and all, you might be lost. So we have tried to keep the theory customized to finance. So anyone who is curious about machine learning in finance, like from a student who is studying a data science to a, like CEO of a big investment bank, I think the book should appeal to all. And also the financial industry professionals who want to like reinvent themselves, they're worried about the job loss. I think job loss due to automation, the book might really prove to be useful for them.
How do you see AI algorithm on finance a few years from now? And what should be our realistic expectation on this regard?
So I think there are a few obvious things when you talk about or when you say realistic expectation. So what I see is there would be more adoption across different applications. Almost all, I mean, there are different use cases already, but there'll be more and more adoption in the future due to growth in data, computing power. We'll see more automation. There are chances that conventional or traditional jobs might go away and more jobs in machine learning and AI will come up. And when I say traditional jobs, I mean, most of the maybe repetitive jobs might go away and there'll be more creative jobs that might come up. And as of now, it's very difficult to speculate. Because if I give an example, nobody knew that something like cryptocurrency would come 20 years back. But there are new inventions, new discoveries, new innovation. And it's kind of difficult to speculate. But still, I mean, I see some kind of, I'm an optimist and I see in romanticized or poetic version of future. So the couple of examples, for example, there might be a case that the trading is completely done by bots. It's kind of completely automated and much faster, efficient, no human bias. And these bots can come up with new strategies as well. And you might be able to solve like big financial problems because of AI and machine learning. So for example, as of now, more than 50%, if I'm not wrong in the numbers, around 50% of the world is still unbanked. So somehow in future, AI might help in that you might be able to get people sign their contract millions of miles away using AI, reading the contracts to them, getting voice-based signature on the contract, which is validated by AI algorithm. And you might be able to solve this problem. So there's one school of thought, or there's one kind of people who are very fearful that AI will take over jobs and then it will become more difficult. But as I said, I'm kind of more optimistic, and I feel that the impact will be positive and pretty interesting. Future is basically what we make. And going back to the democratization, if it is done well, I'm sure the future would be damn interesting.
Given your wealth of experience on quantitative analytics and AI, any word of advice that you can give with regards to this subject matter?
Yeah, I think advice is simple. Learn AI and machine learning and try to reinvent yourself. I think the machines are already here, AI algorithms are already here, and they will grow, and the growth might be exponential in future. So one of the suggestions might be to reinvent yourself. I mean, I'm not just talking or mentioning about people, also for all the traditional banks who still think that the AI machine learning might not impact them in future. The impact would be there, I think, for sure. So reinventing yourself is the way to go about in future. And in case you're referring to any study materials, rather than getting lost in the world of AI courses and books, it's better to focus, especially in finance, it's better to focus on material which is customized to finance and something which is practical. So that would be my two cents on subject matter, quantitative analytics related to AI.
Let's now invite our podcast listeners, Haryam, on how to get your remarkable book and where is it currently available. Most importantly, what are the easiest way of reaching out or contacting you?
Yeah, I love the questions related to marketing of my book. So yeah, I mean, the book is available across all the countries, be it UK, US, India, Canada, Japan. It's on Amazon everywhere. And yeah, and there are a couple of other websites as well, I guess, eBay. And in US, it's O'Reilly. So you can go to these websites and either purchase the book or read the book, get the soft copy on Kindle. And in case you want to reach out to me, the best place would be LinkedIn. I'm pretty responsive there. And generally, I'm very enthusiastic about new collaboration and new ideas. So yeah, I mean, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn.
Thanks so much, Haryam, for sharing us your insightful views on democratizing AI and its significant benefits to our digital economy. We wish you great success in the future.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was nice talking to you. Amazing conversation, very insightful. Thank you.
We would like to express our sincere appreciation to Mr. Haryam Tatsat on sharing us his remarkable perspective on the democratization of artificial intelligence, as well as his one-of-a-kind book entitled Machine Learning and Data Science Blueprints for Finance. Grab a copy now, as it is currently available on Amazon and all major bookstores. We would like to hear from you. share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up on our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Audible, Overcast, and Anchor.fm. You can also reach us on our website at fincircle.wordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening on FinCircle. This is Ed Angeles. Let's catch up again soon.